Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's program, we'll be talking about mBraille, an exciting new application for iOS devices that enables you to not only write Braille in grade one and contracted form, but do many other things.
We'll talk with its creator, Harry Passanen, about its many capabilities and his plans for the future.
Before we get to our tip of the week, we have a quick announcement. Several listeners have reported having problems downloading or streaming episodes of Eyes on Success to their iOS devices. This includes iPads, iPods, iPhones. We now believe those problems have been rectified, and so now you can try downloading or listening to Eyes on Success on those devices. Hopefully you'll have no problems. If you do, please send us a note to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net. Thanks for your patience. Now on to our tip of the week.
This week's tip is Braille literacy is a really good thing, and mBraille just provides one more vehicle where you can use your Braille skills to make the rest of your life simpler.
And we've heard that same message from a number of people we've interviewed on the show who talked about the importance of learning Braille for use in a work environment, for multitasking when you can't always use audio, and for just general literacy.
And the employment statistics are dramatic in terms of what the employment rate or unemployment rate is among adults who either do or do not know Braille. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Harry Passanen and learn how he got into developing apps for the blind.
Can you start by introducing yourself, telling our listeners who you are?
Hi, I'm Harry Passanen. I'm a mobile software developer. I've been developing software for various platforms for past 30 years or so. Started on a Commodore PET machine.
That was a long time ago. I remember those machines. They were fun back then, huh?
Yeah, they had like 16K of memory and integrated display and keyboard, and they cost an arm and a leg.
So we should mention to our listeners that you are Finnish, but now you're living in France, right?
That's true. I've lived in France with my family for about 15 years now. I moved here to work in a Finnish company that made financial software. I was just a software engineer and architect in the company. And then finally, about 3 years ago, I figured that after 12 years of working in the company, I figured that I'm going to strike it out on my own and see if I can do something that I really enjoy doing and have a more concrete feeling of doing useful applications for people and more direct feedback from the users of the applications themselves.
So we're going to be talking in a bit about some of the applications you've developed specifically for the visually impaired, but many of the people we interview are visually impaired themselves. Do you have any visual impairment?
No, I don't. My eyesight was laser corrected some 10 years ago, so since then I haven't even needed glasses.
So how did you get into specifically developing apps for the visually impaired?
It's a kind of long story. It's hard to say exactly why, but I was developing applications for Nokia on my spare time. I had a Nokia smartphone at that time. It had some features for the blind, like it has text-to-speech capability. And one of the applications I was doing was an offline Wikipedia reader, and I was playing with the text-to-speech functionality, and I figured that this might be actually useful for blind people. And then a friend of a family, their father was blind, and he was using DAISY readers, and I also, from that way, I got some sort of idea of what kind of devices are available for the blind. And I thought that there's probably lots that can be done to improve that access, because there's so many more devices are now programmable and you can carry them with you that I was sure that I could do something. So the idea sort of stuck along the years. And I was also reading up on and implementing some experiments on using voice recognition technology. And that's also something that can be used both by sighted and the blind. And sort of it started snowballing from there.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the mBraille app for iOS devices that enables people to use Braille to type on them and much, much more.
So let's talk a little bit about mBraille. This has gotten some very good reviews on some of the blindness sites that I've seen. And I was wondering what your motivation was to develop this program in the first place.
I have to thank the Braille Touch application, which was sort of like a precursor to mBraille, done by some researchers at Georgia Tech. They made this application, and I became aware of it in beginning of this year because I had been doing these other applications for visually impaired community and following the discussions on the applevis.com forum. And I noticed that the Braille Touch application had gotten quite a bit of discussion going, and people were really excited about it. And it had sort of prepared my audience for me, because I took a look at the application and I saw that it had some really good ideas, but then it didn't do very much. And I figured that as a professional developer, I can do more, and especially support multiple languages, which they didn't even have plans to do for Braille Touch. So I sort of went from there and started doing that application.
For those listeners who aren't familiar with mBraille at all, can you give us an overview of what the program does?
mBraille, basically, if you know Braille and Perkins-style Brailler or something like that, you're familiar using with those, then you can use Braille on your iPhone or iPad to do things like write emails or send emails and send tweets, send text messages, everything from the keyboard itself. You don't have to go through menus. And it also supports contracted Braille for English at the moment. I've been told that it's a game changer, especially on iPad input. And also, like many people are saying, that they don't need to carry their Bluetooth keyboards with them anymore.
Well, that sounds like a big deal to be able to support contracted Braille. Is that what makes this program unique from other similar programs in the App Store?
Yeah, that's one of the unique features. The rest of them is that you can do from the Braille keyboard itself, you can send a tweet or call somebody, for instance. You don't have to go leave the Braille application. So I can type in Braille. I call them dot commands. So you start a new line with a period and you do period dial space John, for instance, and it will then automatically look up in your phone address book John's phone number and call him.
Oh, that's neat. What other unique features does it have over some of the similar applications?
The contracted, of course, is one such feature. Then multi-language support. There have been a handful of users who actually know Braille in multiple languages and are switching between languages. So in my application, you can also switch on the fly to type in German, for instance. And then there are all these, you can open a Skype call, you can do Google searches, you can do a lot. The other applications, from my point of view, don't come close. They only basically implement the Braille input and uncontracted and typically English only.
So when you say you do all of this inputting directly from the keyboard, you basically mean you turn the device sideways if it's small like a phone and just put your fingers on it and type directly onto it as if it were a Perkins Brailler?
Depends. If you are using an iPhone, for instance, there are two different possibilities on how to use the keyboard. One is to use it on a table, and then you have sort of a modified Braille layout because the display is small. You don't have enough room to have the six fingers horizontally. So you have to turn your hands, push your elbows forward a little bit so that your fingers are in a V shape. So the index fingers are close to one another and the ring fingers are near the upper corners of the phone. But then you can type that way.
That's probably more comfortable on something that small.
That's what I hope for. And many people do like it. But by far the most popular way to hold the phone is actually with the screen facing away. And then you hold the phone horizontally, the screen is facing away, and you have three fingers on both sides vertically tapping away at the braille dots. So you sort of tap towards yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you do for the space?
For the space, you swipe with one finger to the right. And for backspace to erase, you swipe to opposite direction. And then for a new line, you swipe down.
That sounds easy.
Yeah. And then you use two fingers to swipe left to delete previous word. Yeah, okay, that's one feature I forgot to mention. My application features is that it has editing. So you can type text and edit the text also. Like you can preview what you have typed, like preview by default. It starts to preview by character. So you enter the preview mode by holding the .3 in the Braille keyboard, and then with the other hand or another finger, you swipe left or right to go one word right or one word left, and the voiceover speaks to you each word as you pass. And if you swipe up, then it will start previewing by sentence, so you can move a sentence at a time, or swipe down, it'll then preview just a character at a time.
Does it interact with a spell checker?
Not yet. I've been asked for note-taking capabilities, and that's what I'm planning to do in the future. And there I will then integrate spelling checker and file management features.
Cool. What else do you have planned for the future?
Some new dot commands, like to enable it to even better work across applications or together with other applications. For instance, it's a blind square application for blind for GPS location support, which tells you things in the proximity. And I'm the developer of Blind Square is also a Finn, and I'm working with him to integrate the applications so that they work together well. And then there are other things like communication messaging applications that many people use, that there might be improved support and things like that.
How did you write these programs and debug them, since you're not a Braille user yourself? That must have been a little tricky. You can't easily test some of your new ideas.
Yeah, it took me a while to learn Braille. I still don't know how to use contracted Braille very much. I know a couple of words so that I can test. I recruited testers through forums, so I have about 20 active testers who are all blind and from different countries, and they do a really good job in testing for me and giving me feedback and also suggestions for new features.
Well, it sounds like you've learned a lot just from the other applications out there and user feedback on improving this application and making it more usable by the blind community. That's really great.
I have a mailing list for mBraille, so there are lots of people there who provide good feedback. And also I'm monitoring Twitter feeds, and because you can tweet from mBraille, so many people do tweet. And if they run into problems, I'm able to see it almost real time just by searching for mBraille on Twitter. And then I do try to respond to all the problems and issues that I see going by.
Can you talk to us a little bit about how you became an Apple developer?
I was first doing development for Nokia, but since their fortunes didn't quite rise.
No.
So I had to switch platforms. And for a while, I looked at the Android also, but there the support issue is more complicated because there are so many different types of devices and different versions of the operating system. So I ended up on Apple, and especially for visually impaired, it's currently the best platform in my opinion, because of the voiceover support while far from being perfect, is still better than any of the competition.
I think my Apple iPhone is great. So very accessible.
Do you have any plans to port this app to the Android system, or that's just too difficult because of what you said about the various hardware and everything?
I have no immediate plans to port it, but it's not completely out of the question that I would do it at some point. But I still have so many improvement ideas and languages to cover and so forth that I can only do so much alone. And I don't want to be in the situation where I'm adding new features to one platform and trying to fix old bugs on another one. So I want to first achieve some sort of a stable situation on the Apple products, and then I might think of doing.
It's always so nice to talk to someone who's sensible.
What special considerations are there when developing an app for the visually impaired?
Well, of course, one is that, are you visually impaired yourself? If you are not, then you need to learn a lot about VoiceOver, how it's used, its modes, how the users use it. Basically, you need to blindfold yourself to put yourself into the position of the user. Then there are not so many examples, but there are some examples. Most of the Apple standard applications are accessible. But the VoiceOver changes the way you operate your phone quite a bit. So it's not exactly the same as developing normal applications.
And many of the gestures are quite different when using VoiceOver.
Exactly. And then you cannot do some things with the VoiceOver, but the other things, once you enable the VoiceOver, then you have features in the phone that you didn't know existed before, basically. So like the text-to-speech capability, you cannot use it outside of VoiceOver.
So one thing I had heard about the Android phones, I'm not a user of Android, but I had heard that because of the way their operating system is, you can substitute one keyboard for another. And when you think of using something like M-Braille on a device like that, it would be very nice if you could switch the keyboard and use a Braille keyboard in any application. I guess on the iPhone, you can just use this M-Braille keyboard within the M-Braille application, which kind of makes it imperative for you to interact with all these other applications through the M-Braille application. Is that right? Is that a limitation?
That is a limitation in Apple platform. So the way I've gotten a little bit around it is that in iPhone, you exit the application or switch to another application by pressing the home button. And when that happens, M-Braille automatically copies the current text to the clipboard. So if you go to email or wherever, you can then paste whatever you were typing in M-Braille. But in Android, I could, at least in theory, do exactly what you said, then replace the built-in keyboard so that in the text field, you could type in Braille. In practice, I'm sure there would be issues because I'm not 100% sure if the replacement keyboard can take over the entire screen, which is required in my case.
Oh, you need a little bit more space to place your fingers on a Braille type format.
Yeah, but it might work for tablets. It's like from engineering point of view, it's an interesting concept. And at times I have to sort of tell myself not to go there yet.
But that's a clever idea for the iOS devices to automatically have the contents of the M-Braille buffer copied when you hit the home button and go to another application. So that takes the onus off the user to remember to copy and do that extra step, and you automatically have that information for the next application you're going to. That was a good workaround.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the unique features of M-Braille.
So I have a silly question. You've obviously become proficient with VoiceOver and presumably without VoiceOver also on your phone. If you're just using the phone, which way do you use it?
Myself?
Yeah.
I have the VoiceOver toggle set to the home button. So I click the home button 3 times and the VoiceOver goes on or off. And when I use M-Braille, I always turn on the VoiceOver. But outside that, I don't use VoiceOver because sometimes it gets in the way And also I switch languages a lot in my phone, so I'm a special user in that sense. And VoiceOver is better in some languages than others.
It sounds like you've developed a number of applications specifically for the visually impaired. I'm wondering if all of your applications are geared to the visually impaired, or you write for the general public also?
I do both. Let's say that this year, since about January, I only developed for the visually impaired community, but I have some other applications in the works or sort of in half finished stages that I sometime in the future hope to return to when I have more time. But right now I'm 100%, 110% occupied by the applications for visually impaired.
And can you give a brief run through of what the major applications are that you have developed?
Okay, of the applications that are specifically geared for visually impaired, there's RoboE. Well, that was actually the first application that I released for visually impaired. It is a game, like a puzzle game, and there is no time element involved. You can think the puzzle through as you wish and spend as much time on it as you wish. So that was the first one. And then I did a calculator, which is called VoCalc, which is both for the visually impaired and blind. So you can actually see the keys. If you have some vision, it works also on iPad, and the size of each number on the keys is about 1 inch tall. And the color scheme is such that it's white on black background with some distinctive colors. So if you can see outlines or something, you may be able to use it even without VoiceOver. But it also supports fully VoiceOver usage, and there's a Braille display support included in that application. What sort of sets it apart is that you can use it using touch typing, and expression input is algebraic. And the last one prior to Embraer was a timer application, which has a similar user interface to this calculator. So it's unlike most timers for iOS devices, which are very visually fancy, often at the expense of ease of use. So entering actually the time, it's basically a countdown calculator for kitchen, for instance. So you can cook your eggs or something like that. And the keyboard is similar than as for the calculator. So you actually input numbers by keys. You don't have to rotate any rolling wheels or do things like that. I use it a lot myself, basically every day in the kitchen.
That is a little bit easier to just input numbers than to operate some of those scroll bars sometimes.
Yeah.
And I take it these keys are geared towards the low vision community in addition to being able to be used with VoiceOver.
Exactly. It uses also the touch typing, so you can sort of slide your finger around the screen, and once you find the correct number, you just lift your finger and it gets, and the VoiceOver talks to you. It understands English spoken commands also. So you can say, set a timer for 2 minutes or set a timer for 10 minutes, and it will hopefully understand you.
Now for this week's high-tech item, how you can get involved developing your own apps and or testing some of Harry's.
So once you decide you want to develop on the iOS system, what's involved?
So basically, to develop for iOS, you have to enroll in the Apple development program. It costs in the ballpark of $100 a year. Then you get access to all the development tools that you need. You need a Mac OS or a Mac machine to compile your software. Then there are lots of great tutorials available in the web for starting development. And there's almost too much choice for a beginner, because you can pick so many different development tools and so forth. But if you want to do applications for visually impaired, then you almost have to use Objective-C and maybe Objective-C++ to do your applications, because the support for the scripting type environments is not so good.
Now, when he says Objective-C, that's what many of us call object-oriented-C.
So we'll put links to the Embraer application as well as your other applications for the visually impaired in our show notes. But can you give people other resources like your website or contact information that might be useful?
Yeah, all the applications that I've done in my company, they are on this empire.com website. So M like Marcus, P like Peter, A like Adam, J like Jill, A like Adam.com.
What does empire mean?
It's an acronym in Finnish. M is for mobile. Paya means forge. Like there's a website called SourceForge. So forge is a place where we make things, and mobile forge is a place where I make my mobile software.
Well, it sounds like you've made some neat things.
And if somebody wants to contact you, is there a, I assume there's a contact us link on your webpage?
Yes. It's support@empire.com.
And are you looking for more testers? Because most of our listeners are blind or visually impaired and are therefore qualified to be testers.
I suggest you first join the mailing list and see what's going on. But from time to time, I am looking for new testers. But right now, I'm looking mainly for testers in unsupported languages. I get great results from testers, but I also get so much data back from the testers that I cannot process much more than I currently get.
That can be overwhelming sometimes.
Yes.
And how would one join your mailing list?
It's all explained on the empire.com website under the Embraer description.
As usual, if you missed any of those links, we'll have links to Harry's website in our show notes and also links to the Embraer application as well as all the other applications that we talked about during the show in the iTunes store. We'll have those links in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1348. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about what's possible or not for the visually impaired. And on this show, we often say that nothing is impossible just because you can't see. Well, actually, a few things are either impossible or impractical. And we will hear some heartfelt thoughts from several visually impaired people on the subject, as well as some stories of how they've overcome other people telling them something was impossible that turned out not to be. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.